To CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Screen time. Hardly a day passes without encountering references in the media to screen time. It's one of those words that we've crystallized into a meme and amplified. But there's a problem with screen time. It's a narrow frame that focuses only on setting limits. It doesn't help us to clarify where we want to go or how to get there. And it implies that wherever our wished for destination might be, screens are obstacles, not potential vehicles. What if instead of focusing narrowly on screen time, we pulled our view out wider for a big picture look at our complicated relationships with technology and our devices? These are the words of our guest today, educational consultant and parent coach Claudia Lamoureux. Today, she'll be sharing with us strategies for living more mindfully with our digital devices as individuals, partners, parents, and citizens in a connected world. Claudia Lamoureux works at the intersection of new technologies and education. She helps parents and young people nurture the skills needed to make wise choices about technology that will lead to greater well-being. And she's the founder of Mindful Digital Life. Join us for the next hour as we explore how to create a mindful digital life grounded in nature and authentic connections with others. With our guest, Claudia Lamoureux. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Claudia, welcome.
Hi, Justine. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. I know for some years you've been noticing the concerns of families and children and young people in this digital universe we live in. And I'd like for you to really share with us your experience there. But first, I'd like for you to give us a kind of background of your experience with these digital platforms and your philosophy as to their strengths and weaknesses.
Okay, that's a big question.
Yeah.
Where to begin? I'm just thinking of myself as a young, enthusiastic educator at a kind of experimental school in Cincinnati that was using black and white video technology to give teachers feedback, video feedback on how they were in the classroom and interactions between the children. And that was a revelation for me that really opened the door to the positive, powerful uses of technology and expanding what we're able to see and think about. And so I've been an early adopter of technologies, and I'm thinking about the first time that I saw on my little Mac Plus computer this game that was called Manhole, I think. It was a HyperCard stack, and it was all visual, you know, navigating through worlds, and that really inspired me that this tool, this computer software, it was really going to change education. And so I've always been working at that edge of what's new, what's coming, and trying to prepare and think more deeply so that we can be more choiceful in how we use these tools in positive ways. And that led to my role, I think, in co-founding some media labs along the way, where we were experimenting with new technologies. And I was always like kind of working with some young people helping them to kind of get their hands on these tools, and, you know, including like taking a group of teenagers to Sigagraph back in the 90s. I think Sigagraph was this huge advanced graphics gathering that happens. All computer graphics. And these young people were working early on with 3D modeling, side by side with people in our studio who were doing all kinds of projects, commercial, entertainment. Fast forwarding to today, in the last couple of years, I started to notice that parents were being really challenged in like very hard ways with the technology and the relationship with their kids, even young children. I know a lot of the parents that I'm talking to today, you know, are parents of young children, and they're really trying to figure out how little technology to use with their kids. I'm with tweens and teenagers as the kids get older, and really the pressure is on to get their first phone. All kinds of new challenges come up, and it's often a time of a lot of conflict. And so I really decided to bring forward this mindful digital life as a conversation, really, about how to be more mindful around our technology, but particularly in the family and for young people. And so that's what I've been trying to think about and talk about and write about and work with families on.
As I listen to you, and I'm just remembering, you know, some decades ago now, I guess, when we were talking about, oh, maybe computers in the school, you know, it was a big deal to have kids, young people, having access to computers in the school. And now, as you say, fast forward, you know, it's now these little handheld devices, these cell phones and iPhones, and they're so powerful. They used to be big computers that had to be networked and all sorts of technological complications. Now it's just ubiquitous. And even seeing possibly babies or small children with iPads, which is like a little bit shocking to me anyway.
I was standing in line at my local cafe, and there was a bench beside where I was standing, and a father was sitting there drinking his coffee, and his son, who looked pretty young, turns out he was 22 months, was standing on the bench right beside him with his phone in his hand, with his father's phone in his hand, an iPhone, and he was navigating. I could see that he was navigating, and I was fascinated and watching, and the father saw me watching and said, oh yeah, he goes from Safari to YouTube to a children's video on YouTube. He has been doing that for 2 months, you know, and I was like, wow. And there are really amazing positive things about that. And I think that it's worthy of really having some deeper dialogues around, you know, our intentionality and, you know, how do we talk about that? How do we think about that? How do we evaluate that? you know, and how do we make sure that a young person who is really taking to technology at a pretty early age is taking to it in a way that is really going to lead to the kinds of positive outcomes that we want for them, rather than more as a babysitting, as you know, tool, and also looking at the bigger picture of like the balance in their lives. You know, are they getting their hands in the dirt? You know, are they spending a lot of time outside? You know, I think REI just came out with a report called The Path Ahead, and in it they quote some other research about how 95% of Americans are spending, you know, most of their days indoors, and, you know, just the how we're becoming an indoor species. And so I think these are some of the issues that we need to be thinking about when we're putting technology in the hands of young people really early.
So you mentioned we're becoming an indoor species. That's okay. Let's explore that for a moment, because what does that mean for us in your experience for our development as a human species, and how we want to be effective on the planet?
Yeah, I think one of the stories from the last couple of years that really struck me was the story about the Oxford Junior Dictionary, and there was a woman, I think she was in the UK or maybe Scotland, mother of four, and she noticed that some words were missing in the latest version of the Oxford Dictionary, Junior Dictionary. This is a dictionary for nine-year-olds, and these were nature words, like acorn was one of the words. You know, new words were coming in. One of the words that comes to mind was celebrity was coming in. And so this started a whole dialogue between some writers, very well-known writers, actually, and the editors of the Oxford Junior Dictionary. And the point that the Oxford Junior Dictionary editors made was that we are reflecting what's happening in the culture. And so what that said to me is that we have responsibility for making sure that our kids are having words like acorn arise in their vocabulary. And so we have to, you know, it's our responsibility to make outdoor time an essential part of our lives. And, you know, I think that the obvious repercussions are if, for example, let's just look at birds. If you can't identify a sparrow, you know, a really common bird, whereas most of the kids in this study in the UK, they could identify Pikachu from, you know, a virtual world, but they couldn't identify a sparrow, then how are we possibly going to, you know, be able to protect habitat for birds in our neighborhood? So that's what it gets down to for me.
I'm here with Claudia Lamoureux, and she's an educational consultant and founder of Mindful Digital Life. And her website, if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, claudialamoureux.com. And she spells her last name LAMOREAUX, claudialamoureux.com. And you can plug into her resources, her blog, subscribe to her blog and other things, other wonderful, interesting things and informative things on her website. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
I'm here with Claudia Lamoureux, and she is an educational consultant and founder of Mindful Digital Life. And she is an educator and works with young people and parents. And really, you're talking, Claudia, about looking more deeply at the kinds of conversations we should have. You mentioned about the dictionary for young people and the words that are dropping out. I'm just wondering, why would they drop out words? Do they have a limited, like, did they say, oh, we can only do so many pages or something? That was my question. Like, why drop out words? I can understand adding words, but that one kind of confused me. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I'd have to go back into that dialogue. I'm sure that that was addressed. I would guess, as an editor myself, that there are some limitations. But I do recall that the main thing is that it has to do with usage. And so what, you know, there was a whole list of words that this one parent had identified that had dropped out. And, you know, they were all words of nature. I wish I had the list in front of me here. I remember acorn as being one, but there were also different bird names. And I think the point was that these words are not being used in, you know, they're really going down. Like, I'm thinking of when you look up the etymology of a word on Google, it shows a little chart of usage, and it usually shows when the word came into the vocabulary, and then it usually it shows a graph that's usually either going up or down. And so if we graphed these according to the Oxford Junior Dictionary folks, these words are really going down in usage, whereas some of the other words that have been added that are more around technology are really going increasing in usage.
And this brings up the whole idea of searches. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're doing digital searches, I mean, just this morning, for an example, here, we're sitting here for this interview, and myself and my engineer looked up your words,
mindful digital life.
And for my engineer, Lou Judson, it came right up at the top. It was right there. And your website, Claudia Lamoureux, was right there. For mine, when I looked it up, it was down number 4. And now why, you know, it's like for some reason there's some filter going on that's filtering that for me that didn't filter it for him. And that's going on all the time that we don't even realize that we think, oh, we're just able to access this incredible information, but it's being filtered constantly.
Well, I guess where I would go with that is I think that's a great example of the kind of thing we need to make conscious in our conversations with our kids, whether they're students in a classroom or whether they're our own children or our grandchildren or our friends' children, is helping them to understand things like that, doing experiments around that. That would be a great experiment. You know, choose a word or an organization or a name of a person to Google and have different people compare your results. So I think it's important for young people to realize, all of us to realize and make more conscious that that it's not this like objective search engine, that all kinds of things are factoring in to what gets presented to us. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's the result of personalization. But we need to understand that that's happening, because in some cases, it is hiding, you know, we're not seeing information that is relevant. And so there are people who have done some really nice work around that. I think one of the first people to really call it in a great way was Eli Pariser in his book, The Filter Bubble. And for people who aren't book readers, you know, there's a great TED Talk, I think, that Eli Pariser does. It's Pariser, to go more in depth to that. It really started in 2009, I think, when Google made some significant changes. And so, you know, the most important thing about it, I think, is that we need to be aware of these things rather than just using the tools. We need to really think about how they're designed, how they function, and always be visiting that aspect of it, thinking about the tools that we're using instead of just using the tools and talking about that, making that a part of our daily conversation in the family so that we're modeling that kind of investigation around our tools with, you know, the young people in our environment.
And that's what I love about the work and your philosophy and where you come from, Claudia, is that you're not throwing out the tool of digital universe. There's something really very fine about that. But you're also saying, let's have deep conversations, especially within our families and especially with our young people who are so immersed in this world. And so let's talk about those kind of conversations we might have within our families. So what suggestions would you have for us to instigate a conversation within the family?
Well, that's a great question, Justine. And I think that the first thing that I would say is that, like, if I'm talking to a parent, is that I would suggest that they begin having regular conversations with themselves about how they're using technology, because what I see a lot of is that parents think they're having a conversation with their kids, but they're really not. Because I have some, like, basics of conversation for me mean that you have to come to conversation with an open mind, non-judgmental. You don't know the answers. It's a co-creative process. What I see a lot is parents think they know, and, you know, it turns out being more of a lecture. And that usually doesn't work. I don't think it ever works personally. And I think it's important to take time to step out of how you're using the technology, like step out of just using it, to actually reflect on your life with technology, and to do that frequently. And then to talk about that, to share that with your partner, with your co-parenting partners, with your, you know, with the kids, especially as they're older, but even younger. And I'm thinking about this one example where maybe 7-year-old was commenting on how her mother was always on the phone. And so there's a case where it would be important for the mother to share what she's doing on her phone and why she's on her phone in that moment with this young person. And at the same time, also to think about, do I really need to be on my phone right now? Now, for say it's the mother has a photography business and needs to be available to respond, but she might actually think about creating some business hours and sharing with her clients that these are the hours that she's going to be available, and then she can let her daughter know, I'm 100% free during this time to be, you know, totally focused on what we're doing together. But at this time, during these times, I actually have to be available for my clients. And so I may be taking a phone call or I may be answering a text, and that's what's happening. So that's what I mean by making the you know, this is a new skill. It's a skill that we haven't had to do. And I think we have to cultivate this skill and practice it, because we're modeling then for our kids. We're modeling reflecting on our own technology use. We're modeling, you know, talking about it and making it conscious so that we can think about it aloud with other people.
Well, I'm thinking also that it's shifted, because you use the example of a phone, and it used to be that the phone was hardwired in the house and it was in a certain place and so forth. But now it's in our purse or in our pocket, and it's with us all the time. And so it's like this digital world is available to us constantly. We get a ding, and it's a message, you know, an instant message, and people expect that we return that right away, or we look at it right away, or it's important. And so it's just changed the whole way we are. I mean, technology has entered into the field of our existence in a way now that's very, very different. So I think these kinds of conversations and these kinds of boundaries that we might need to make in our lives, these are not easy to make because it's so seductive.
Right, right. I think what you're talking about here is that we find ourselves in a place of having being connected 24/7, and it's relatively new. It's in some ways snuck up on us, and so it's requiring of us, I think, another level of awareness and mindfulness around really thinking about how do we want to navigate this. I think we can make small changes that are going to have huge qualitative difference. For example, you can change the notifications on your phone so that you don't receive notifications all the time, because, you know, a lot of the research shows that an interruption like that that can come in randomly at any time can cost us a lot of time in regaining our focus.
So in that way, we're being proactive as to when we go to the technology,
right,
rather than having the technology ding us.
Right. And this is where Tristan Harris, who was the design ethicist at Google, and now has recently launched an organization, a new organization with Common Sense Media, which is really oriented around reviewing all kinds of technology for parents and young people. Great organization. And they've got a great, great teaming together of making kind of thinking about how to design technology for humans instead of humans for technology, which is basically where it's at today.
Good, good. That's a good one to plug into. And I want to remind people that these are the sorts of references that Claudia would have in her blog and other resources on her website. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, claudialamoureux.com. And she spells her last name LAMOREAUX, claudialamoureux.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Claudia Lamoureux, and she is the founder of Mindful Digital Life, and she's an educational consultant. And Claudia,